Take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. We make our way back to Colossians today. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Devote yourselves in prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your ministry to us already in song and time of prayer and through your word. And we pray that as we come before your word at this time, that you would speak afresh to us and give us ears to hear you, hearts to receive you. We pray that you would change us for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Back before Easter, back before Palm Sunday, as we were working through Colossians, we came to 3:17, and 3:17 is one of those verses that you don't move away from too quickly. 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, word, deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we've been talking about how we put on these new clothes. Talked about how when we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we are baptized into a new humanity. That we have discarded the old humanity and we are part of a new humanity. And we also saw that as we become part of a new humanity, we have a new wardrobe to wear. And so we get rid of that wardrobe of rage. We get rid of that wardrobe of impurity and sexual immorality and greed. We quit wearing those clothes. New humanity doesn't wear old clothing. New humanity, new clothing. And we saw how Paul instructed the Colossians to start wearing clothes like compassion and kindness and gentleness and humility. Patience, even clothing where you forgive one another. Put on that new clothing over this new humanity that you have been given, that you've been clothed with. And then we saw from there that you don't just wear your new clothing when you come to church. Paul says you keep the new clothing on, that compassion, kindness, gentleness, that patience. You keep the new clothing on when you go home. And so he has these instructions for the household. And so, wives, this is how you're to treat your husbands in Christ Jesus. Whatever you do, in word or deed towards your husband, do it as you were doing it unto the Lord. Do it in the name of the Lord. And likewise with husbands, you know, love your wives. And husbands, don't be harsh with them. Husbands, however you treat your wives, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then we see it to children and to fathers and to slaves and to masters. And Paul is very much concerned that this clothing that we've been charged to wear and empowered to wear, that we don't just wear it together on Sunday mornings, but that we wear it when we go back out, when we go back home, when we go to our various households and responsibilities, wear the new clothing. And then we come to our passage this morning, 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer. It's kind of a swing passage, because where it's going to go to is kind of how you are in the world and towards the world. But I want us to not jump ahead too quickly. How are you going to wear the new clothes? What's it going to take to start dressing in compassion? What's it going to take to start dressing in humility? To putting on clothing of kindness? To putting on that clothing where you're really concerned about one another rather than just yourself or how you look? And I think the word right there is give yourself to prayer. That it's going to take some praying. It's going to take a practice of prayer. to be able to put on this new clothing on a consistent basis. And so Paul has given these instructions about this is what you're supposed to do, this is how you're supposed to act, this is the clothing of the new humanity. You better pray. You better devote yourself. You better practice praying. Make it part of your life. Make it part of your routine. Be steadfast in prayer. Because without praying, without being watchful, without being thankful, without giving yourself to prayer, it's going to be tough to keep wearing the new clothing. And it will be easy to slip back into that old clothing, which at first may feel comfortable, but it's actually destructive. Give yourself to prayer. I think about the word in here, to this watchfulness. Be watchful, be thankful. And I think with the watchfulness, part of that, and it's a big word, but part of that is becoming sensitive to what we're wearing. So I begin to get intentional about the new clothing that I'm wearing. That I'm thinking about it now, that I'm praying about it. That instead of just kind of living life and showing up on Sundays, that now throughout the week I am attentive to the clothing that I'm wearing. I'm watchful for what God is doing, and I'm prayerful. God, as I'm going into this situation, help me to be compassionate rather than to be harsh. God, as I'm dealing with this group of folks, whether it's at school or whether it's at work or in the neighborhood, God, help me to dress appropriately. Help my clothing to fit the new humanity that I am in Christ Jesus. So there's a watchfulness to it, a mindfulness about it. And live with the spirit of thanksgiving rather than a spirit of entitlement. Being grateful. Now, Paul begins to turn a corner here. And I want you to notice where he goes with this. So let me start at verse 2 again. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Verse 3, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. I don't know how much they thought about praying for Paul. Because Paul was the missionary. Paul was the apostle. Paul was the one who prayed for them. And at the beginning of the letter, Paul tells them, this is what I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you'll be filled with the knowledge of God's will for you so that you can walk worthy of Christ Jesus. And he lays out his prayer for them, but now we get to the end of the letter, and he's saying, be prayerful, keep watch, be gracious, and pray for us. Pray for me. And look at what Paul is praying for when it comes to him. Pray that there would be an open door. Now, Paul's in prison at the time, but I don't think he's saying pray that the prison doors open. That may be part of it, but that's not the whole thing. When Paul talks about an open door, he's thinking about a place to proclaim Christ. He's thinking about opportunities to make the gospel known. Opportunities to share the good news of what God has done in Christ Jesus. So here is Paul, the missionary. And here's a church that Paul didn't even start. It got started by one of the guys that Paul witnessed to. And he's saying, pray for me. I've been praying for you. Pray for me that God will give an open door and that I'll be able to be a faithful missionary through that door. That I'll be able to proclaim Christ clearly. It's interesting. Paul recognizes that the power for this whole thing comes from God. And so, you're not going to wear new clothing on your own. You're going to wear the same old clothes, except for the power of God. So give yourselves to prayer. Because that's where the power comes to dress new. And Paul also recognizes, pray for me, because that's where the power comes for his ministry. Paul, the great apostle, Paul, the missionary, Paul, the one who has gone to prison for his faith, he's in chains because of preaching the gospel. He recognizes that it's not a ministry that arises out of his own abilities. It's not a ministry that arises out of his own strength, his own determination. Pray for us. Pray for me that there'll be an open door and that I'll proclaim Christ and I'll proclaim Christ clearly. Paul knows that the power is not in and of himself. Just pray for me. This mystery. I want you to see the other thing with this. We have a hard time translating it. But look with me at verse 4. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. That word should, the translators don't know the best way to get at it. Because implied in that word is that it's a divine must. And what I mean by that, this isn't simply something Paul's saying, this is what I have to do. This is what I must do. Paul has a sense that somehow he is caught up in what God is doing. And so it's not simply that I need to proclaim Christ as if it's simply a human effort. This is a divine must. And so what they're trying to get at, what Paul is saying, I'm caught up into what God is doing. And so what I'm doing is something that's bigger than myself. God is at work in it. Pray that I might proclaim Christ clearly as God necessitates, as God is at work. And so Paul understands his ministry as belonging to something that God is doing. This whole thing that's driving it, it's dependent upon the Spirit of God. It's not simply a human endeavor. And so pray for me that God's Spirit is at work, that I might be caught up into that this necessity might be met through my life. The gospel proclaimed. Now, we could probably pause. We probably should pause there for a moment and just think about that sense of must. That the work of the church, the work of the folks back there in the kitchen, the work of raising funds, the work of everything that goes on, from yard work at Sister Tucker's to painting the doors here, all of that is caught up into this divine must. We're not simply a human organization. And so we are reliant upon the power of God in all the things that we do. This divine must. And so Paul switches gears here a little bit more on him. It's not only pray that God will open doors for me and I'll be able to step through those doors and proclaim Christ clearly. But he wants them to start thinking about what God may open up for them. And so look where it turns. Look where Paul goes with it. Verse 5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Paul has them praying for his ministry to outsiders. Pray that the Lord will open doors that I can proclaim Christ and proclaim him clearly. But now also, you have outsiders to reach out to. The vision here is that the church is to reach out, to be ready, to be prepared, to minister to those that are on the outside of the congregation. I think the thing I want to pick up on with this, it feels weird even saying it in our culture today, is that there are outsiders. We don't like that language. But Paul says, and he uses the language, outsiders. And most of his letter, in fact, I think just about all of his letter, has been focused on the insiders. Church, this is how you are to act towards one another. We sang about it this morning. They will know we are what? Christians by our love. And that especially has to do with how we love one another. And so the outsiders, the world out there, recognizes, hey, that's a different people, that people of Christ Jesus, because they love one another. Well, now this shift focuses to outsiders, to those who are outside of the fellowship, those who are outside of the family, those who are outside, those who aren't living under and in the reign of Christ Jesus. And see, you're either under the reign of Christ Jesus or you're outside of the reign of Christ Jesus. And you're serving somebody else or something else. Paul says, in terms of these outsiders, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You know, if he just stopped and said, be wise in how you're dealing with outsiders, we might read that in terms of make sure you don't get taken advantage of. Make sure that nobody rips you off. You can't trust anyone outside the family. And you better make sure you figure out a way to get over them, because they'll get over you if you don't. But he doesn't stop there. He says, be wise in how you're dealing with outsiders, then what? Make the most of every opportunity. And what does he say about your conversation? That it needs to be gracious, and that it needs to be salted. Seasoned with salt. What do you think Paul's getting at there? What does salt do? How many of you guys like McDonald's fries? Okay. And McDonald's fries, and, you know, they're salty enough to start with, but how many of you are like me and you want to put more salt on the salty fries? Anybody? Okay, heart attack, yeah. Okay, but man, it's good. So when I put salt on McDonald's fries, you know what it makes me want? More fries, more salt, and Dr. Pepper. Okay? And it just makes me want more. I mean, I don't know that I've ever had too many, in terms of appetite, too many McDonald's fries. Okay, the salt, something about salt in those fries, it makes me want more fries and some Dr. Pepper. Let your conversation be seasoned with salt. Make the most of every opportunity as you engage with outsiders. What do you think Paul's saying there? What's that? Make them want more. Now, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have had someone talk to you about Christ and you were thanking God when the conversation was over and not because you got saved? Somebody so approached you with Christ, there was nothing salty about it. There was nothing in the conversation that made you want more. Maybe they hit you over the head with it. Maybe they beat you down with it. Maybe they weren't even trying to witness to you. They were just telling you that you were an outsider. See, what Paul is saying here is that you're inside, they're outside, but it's not designed to be a closed border. Instead, make the most of every opportunity that you have in the conversations you have with those who are outside, to where they would like to come inside and join in the fellowship that we have under our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying to them. Saying, pray for me that the doors will be open for me to proclaim Christ clearly. And you on your end, respond to all those folks who are outside who are living under the reign of something or somebody else. Speak wisely to them. Act wisely towards them. So that through your speech, so that through your actions, they begin to hunger and thirst for what you have. And they want a second conversation with you. And a third conversation with you. They want more. And the borders open for them to come in and confess Christ Jesus as Lord. And to join the fellowship. We want to engage in an evangelism that leads folks wanting more instead of wanting less. And I'm afraid that too often the church has been engaged in evangelism that leaves the world wanting less instead of more. But if we have this new clothing on and we're wearing it faithfully and we're devoted to prayer so there's that power to put on the new clothing in our relationships with each other as well as how we respond to those outside, and we're attentive to the movement of the Spirit, folks are going to want a second conversation. Folks are going to want more. And folks are going to find their way in through the leading of the Spirit as we're attentive. Now, kind of big picture here. What's the fundamental heart cry of Christians? What Jesus teaches us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is our prayer. That is our cry. Thy kingdom come. That's what we're watching for. That's what we're attentive to. Thy kingdom come. Now, look back with me in Colossians just a little bit. Go back to Paul's prayer for the Colossians, 1:9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What has God done? He has rescued us and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We have moved from being under the domain, under the dominion, under the kingdom of darkness, and we have been rescued by God and brought under and into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Insiders. We've had a lot of stuff about kings today. In terms of the music, in terms of the scripture, Old Testament, Preston's gospel reading, about a king coming. That's what has made the Colossian church the Colossian church. They have been rescued and brought under the King of the Son God loves, under Jesus. That's what we're watching for. That's what we're praying for. But you don't just sit and watch. The kingdom's coming, but we're caught up in its coming. And so this watching, Paul says, pray for me. Doors open that I can proclaim the mystery of Christ clearly. That I can proclaim the one who is crucified, who is raised, this coming King. Pray that I can do that. Church, in your conversation with outsiders, people who are outside the reign, speak wisely. Speak graciously. Salt your conversation so that they want more. So that they too desire to come under the reign of Christ Jesus. We cry out for the kingdom to come, but we don't just sit while we cry out. There's this, we're caught up in it. And we're caught up in this activity of God, this must of God, in inviting others into the kingdom, in rescuing them from the dominion of darkness, that they too can join us, being under the King, being under Christ Jesus. That's Paul's vision for the church. They're different people. They're going to start dressing according to this new humanity that they have in Christ Jesus. But the whole thing is a work of God. And so pray. And pray not only for yourselves, but pray that you're caught up into what God is doing. And that God would use us to invite others in and to bring others in into this new kingdom, the kingdom that belongs to the Son that He loves. Would you stand with me? I'd like for us to close with communion, as we usually do. If our worship band would come. And I don't know if you can get the PowerPoint booted up quick enough, but at least lead us in Stir in Me. And as they sing this song and join in, I invite you to come and receive the bread, receive the cup, representing our Lord Jesus. And devote yourself to prayer. Prayer to put on the new clothing. Prayer for the kingdom to come. Prayer that we would indeed be salty, that people would want more. So as they sing, you're welcome to join along and come and receive the bread, receive the cup, return to your seats, and we'll take communion together.